they were saying HBO is interested in doing a game show. They're trying to like do the whole, I don't know what keeps it, a game show keep it on brand, but we'll see.
A prestige game show.
Yeah.
Hosted by
Ben Stein.
Not Ben Stein. I don't know. Ben Stein on some wild shit. Like,
it's MAGA shit, right?
Yeah. MAGA Ben Stein. What the fuck?
Why does that sound like evolution and shit? Like, you know, Majin Vegeta, like you get MAGA and shit.
You get the M on your forehead. And niggas, and Majin is evil, right? You be like, damn.
Do you get mad brolic because you know, like, fuck black people.
Oh. Yeah, but this shit is fleeting.
It's like, just a few, nigga, you just lose, you just wear out.
Man, like, damn, Vegeta, like, he'll be back though. We just gotta work on him. You gotta beat it out of him.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co no sock wearer, DJ. How are you so casual on such a gloomy day?
It's hard, but someone has to do it. You know?
I mean, those could be no shows, I'm not sure, but
Nah, it's just straight raw.
Just loafer into the shoe.
Yeah, you know, you get the water in the loafer. It'll tighten the leather like an OJ glove, but we persevere. I dodged the rain though. It actually didn't rain very much on a gloomy 7-Eleven here we have on this Thursday. Did you get your slushy? That's slushy. Hard to say. Did you get your slushy?
Oh wait, why?
At 7-Eleven.
Oh, today's slushy day or something?
Yes, nigga.
Where are there 7-Elevens?
It's one on DeKalb.
DeKalb. And I got 4 hours. Run, Brandon, run and shit.
Yeah. They give you like a teaspoon full of slushy because there's always like this line protruding out the store.
It's like a Dixie cup.
Yeah.
But if I go late in the day and they just have some left, they're like, listen, we go redo this batch anyway.
I mean, there's a chance that I've done it before and they've run out like by like 7. So
I'm upset.
You could try.
Well, you know, it's not always about jumping on every trend, DJ. So I'll say I missed out on this one. I obviously didn't even know it was happening. So
yeah, and you know, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I had gone for like 4 or 5 years straight, and. For the past 2 years, I don't think I've made it. So
yeah,
I'm at a crisis.
I don't really track what the days are. So you hit me with the 7-Eleven. I was like, oh, okay, you know, 2 months until the big one.
Hey, and your boys, KD and Kyrie.
Oh, yeah.
Man, KD, he's going with the God body number. He's apparently wearing 7.
Yes, yes.
With his bare bones media campaigns, just putting up a blank Instagram post, apparently.
Yeah.
And Kyrie's still wearing number 11, both
yeah,
for the Nets.
Yeah, the mercurial stars we are all excited to have.
Yeah. I guess I took the reins of introducing us here.
You jumped in there. I liked it.
Not bad. Maybe not worth commenting on. But, yeah, so we talking about NBA. We talking about Summer League. It's lit. People playing. Zion played for 8 minutes. He destroyed Kevin Knox. And
I know. Didn't take the ball from him. Yeah, give me this.
He threw him into a vortex. Dunked it in dunk knees. And it seems as if he's not the Pelicans are not the only ones concerned about players' knees.
Yeah.
Young rookies.
And then you have, what's his name, too? What was the kid on the Pelicans, too, that dunked on everybody?
The tall one?
Jackson Hayes.
Yeah, Jackson Hayes.
Yeah, so you have that happen. You have other guys out there getting their first taste of NBA basketball, in some sense, or second.
Right. But at least purportedly based on this mildly concerned, trolling, sensationalist Baxter Holmes ESPN article.
I'm glad you said it.
Many of them are not prepared physically for the physical gauntlet that is NBA basketball.
It's too rigorous.
Too rigorous, and based on the, just based on general mileage, right? I think we've actually had the same type of verbiage when it comes to players late in their career. For example, it's now become this weird, at least to me, pervasive commonality of talking points where people view LeBron as if he's on the latter end of his career or his prime is over,
right?
Because of all of his mileage. And there may be relative validity to some of that, but he also averaged like 28, 8, and 8 last season.
Same numbers he always averaged.
So, you know, you kind of call that into question. But nonetheless, Father Time does catch up to everyone, especially if you played a lot of NBA games. So, or just a lot of games in particular, right? So, what we have here is, I guess not even really a title, but these kids are taking time bombs. The threat of youth basketball.
The threat.
Yeah. Baxter Holmes and ESPN Online.
So it's funny, like, when I think about the article, too, because at the end of the day, the way it's couched, the threat of youth basketball, it's like, I don't know. This AAU thing has been around for a long time, and the idea that it's bad, in some sense, has been around for some long time, too, and now it's moved from a culture thing to the players wanting too much power, to now it's like, the medical, that's it, too. And which may be true to some extent, but does that make it some sort of institutional problem? The best kid... Honestly, the best kids are going to make the league could be like, yo, I'm not going to play because I'm raw. So, and that would, like, how does that fit into the whole narrative of these other kids? Their bodies are becoming too powerful before they're playing too much basketball. They can do windmills, but they can't stand. I kept hearing that he can't stand on one leg, but he can do a windmill dunk. And it's like,
yeah, it mostly comes off as largely a critique of their, like, physical training regimens, where they're not just doing as much knee and hip training and physical therapy as one should be, and I'm sure there's a lot of validity to that, but it almost came out as an abstraction and with few actual anecdotal situations beyond, I guess, the Julius Randle parable at the beginning.
Yes. It really threw me off too. I was like, "Where are we at?" It's like, is this article old or something like that? It's like, no, take you back to 2014. Where it's
like, yeah, and I mean, I do remember that moment because that was actually rather drastic at the time, where, you know, Randle got hurt 14 minutes into his rookie season, apparently based on relative stresses in his knees. So alarmism is alarmism for alarmism's sake. But, you know, there is relative validity to it. And I definitely do think, on the whole, AAU is bad for a multitude of reasons, all that you had mentioned. But it's not, I don't view it as this, like, complete malevolent figure in sporting in a particular
basketball. It's more of a reaction to, like, how profitable basketball has become in all levels.
Right.
It's not like it's like people are like, yeah, we're gonna, like, hurt these kids and run them ragged. It's like people just like, we can make money. That's it. It's this capitalist.
Yeah, like, isn't that more like one and the same thing though? Which is like the evil voice you put on and
I don't know. It's not like it's Big Oil or some shit. Like, we're going to kill these seals and shit. It's like, you know, it's just like people like, I will pack out a high school game. Okay.
Right.
So kids will come and pay. So it generates itself, but it's not, I don't think, like you said, it's malevolent.
Well, you just actually you missed the difference between the two, because, like, high school basketball culture is very different from AAU culture.
Okay. That's a good point. Maybe I sort of jumped over it. Mm-hmm. But I would say that the market for these kids playing, whether mm-hmm. that be really in shoe deals or all these little back end things in the AAU circuit versus like high school games.
Yeah.
But there's a market for basketball at a younger and younger age.
Yeah. I mean, particularly with AAU and EYBL leagues. And they do wind up getting run through the ringer and playing a tremendous amount of games, especially compared to previous iterations and generations of basketball. So you got, you know, commentary from somebody like Kobe. Did you read it to the end?
And it's just like, well, you know, I just came from Europe and response. Just, you know, I just played a couple times because, you know, I was in Europe and then I played some games, trained my own, and I'm great.
it's like, this shit is crazy. They play 10 games a week now.
But then also, just the idea that you play 10 games a week, it's like, what does that mean? Some guys are really playing, but they're doing these 10-man, like, five out, we just run up the court, not doing it. Like, I don't know if it's really that rigorous of a, like, 48-minute run and all this kind of stuff that, like, they're talking about.
I do think the relative wear and tear is there, and... you know, you it may manifest itself with the best players that come out of those. Well, all the players come out of that system now, obviously. And have you seen Zion walk? Like, is he a testament to this?
Does he have like an odd gait?
Yeah, he actually does. He has like a weird wobble to the way he walks. I don't know if that means his hips are bad or he just maybe walks like whoever his pops is or his mom's. But you know, maybe all of their hips are bad, and everybody knees will give out everybody's Brandon Roy and Julius Randle, who turned into a relatively fruitful NBA player. So I don't know how worthwhile it was. So I guess in terms of trying to find resolutions or fixes to it, there apparently are no fixes because there's no centralized basketball institution that could try to give directives besides a couple of relative suggestions from coming down from
the NBA. That's what they were like. That's the big point of the article I found funny. It's like, you know, there is no real, it's just like, it's just a game. It's like people want to have these leagues in their town, their community. You can have guidelines and structures come down, but I mean, the enforcement is not really who are the basketball cops?
Well, I guess there are pitch counts and things of that nature in baseball. I know there are like large like centralized rules when it comes to hockey. It's just relatively decentralized when it comes to you know, youth basketball in particular. And I guess the only at least worthwhile thing discussing with in the piece is definitely as I rap with you off pod in various circumstances, but about like socioeconomic stratum and in particular like specialized athletes that they harp on, or
right.
Holmes harps on a lot in this piece, that may obviously does show this problem, you know, starting to develop and people seeing alarm at it in a few anecdotal cases or looking at the data, where earlier you're seeing players become, or kids become more specialized in playing only exclusively that sport instead of diversifying with their physical activities, and maybe playing other sports, improving and rounding out other parts of their, you know, mental and athleticism compared to, you know, playing basketball 10 months out the year or what have you.
Right. And that also is giving you the sort of, I don't want to call them arthritic injuries, but these repetition injuries.
Yes. Like, yeah. That. Because, you know, you're hooping all day. Well, you're hooping, playing 10 games a week.
Jumping.
Yeah. Knees, jumping all the time.
Hips.
While, you know, not playing baseball or not, you know, swimming or something like that to kind of spell it. So, you know, at least maybe I think I'm speaking for the both of us, but, you know, we're not dismissing this totally out of hand, but it definitely came off as relatively alarmist.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit solid snake, you know. You know? But I think it's true. Whether or not it needs to be addressed in some sort of immediate fashion may be there or not there, but all right, Baxter, all right, you know, feeling it.
Yeah, I don't know what's the best way to just decelerate this entire AAU system and culture. That I think we're probably past the point of no return.
Basketball got to get less popular.
Has to get less popular.
Yeah, kids, what I mean, kids got to be doing something. What's the new hot thing kids do? Like, kids don't hoop. We talked about this. Yeah. What's happening to New York basketball? I don't know, esports? Is it going to be carpal 2K. Tunnel injuries?
Yeah, oh, shit.
You know,
yeah, kids' fingers fucked up, playing too much 2K.
Some new shit, I don't know, piece soccer.
Soccer might be on the way. Shout out to the women's team.
Yeah, they did win. Shout out.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, it's either that, when we look out here in New York, it's either kids not playing or the specialized ones, they doing one-on-ones with their coach.
Right.
And, yeah, I have anecdotal, actually, relative story that does kind of fulfill this is like, even not me as much, but my youngest little brother, he dealt with tendonitis over his senior year because he played so much fucking basketball that he was starting to get tendonitis in his foot and in his knees. So it's not a real thing, but is it really affecting the on-court product, especially by the time it makes its way all the way up to the NBA? No, I don't think so. And is there, you know, a graveyard of players that you know, all the knees are breaking because they've been playing so much? No. And are players' careers being shortened by this? That seems to be the complete opposite.
Especially considering if you had any of these injuries back in the day, it was actually done for you. You tore ACL or Achilles. Like, all right, dog, catch you later. Like, now, you know, you can recover. Julius Randle breaks his leg and he's back.
Yeah.
Running over people.
Yeah, what's the other kid? The other guy? Ben Simmons, he broke his foot.
Trash boy, Ben Simmons.
What is it?
Trash boy.
We'll see.
I said it.
Throw away the first quarter of the season, just shoot. Blake Griffin tore his ACL before the season started, right? Or was it his foot? One or two. His rookie season. He didn't even play the first rookie season because I think he tore his ACL or broke his foot. Similar to Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Knee or something.
Yeah. So these things happen, and really, by the time you get to the NBA, they can fix all that shit because they just have, you know, infinite resources to be able to deal with that. So maybe this piece would be better off focused like a level down instead of like kind of from the purview of the NBA, because we're not really seeing the ill effects of it.
Really, I don't know, some sort of AAU coalition investigation as opposed to being like, Julius Randle is like,
he's done now. The league. He was killing people at Kentucky.
Shit, you gotta get clicks, dog.
Yeah. So alas, what else we got?
Well, I mean, to really think about, I'm sorry, it's really funny to think about, because it's just like, come on, dog, calm down, calm down. Let's chill out here for a second. So if we can move on, DJ, to I guess other, I don't call it pressing news,
maybe,
potentially,
maybe. I don't know what you're about to say. So.
All right. Pause. Cut. Edit here. God, what was the second one? I forgot.
Shit. Thank you. Yeah. We said Streaming Wars last.
Yeah, Streaming Wars is last.
I'll do the Kanye thing.
Kanye. Boom. Okay. All right.
You got the article?
Yeah. Right, you sent it to me. Like, read everything. I just was like, what the fuck are we supposed to be talking about?
It because it was no longer the Epstein thing, thankfully.
Yeah. We don't need to talk about that. You want to talk about Mad Magazine, DJ?
Oh, you can put that in. I had no idea what that
was. No, I just thought that was interesting because I was like, oh. It's like they were talking about like how the way the cultural icon and moving backward through time and sharing culture of different eras that you weren't really born in. So that's what Mad was about. It's funny, though, when you think about AAU and what that means and establishing your brand. Because that's really what it's all about, is like, oh, that little 8-year-old, he's fire. We really got to, you know, get him going early and get him out in the courts and get him building and stuff like that. But yeah, if you're going to be anything, you got to, as you got to do, all the best, all the greats, all have tendonitis. No, but it's like, what truly famous, successful person that made it to that level at an age in what, their 20s or through their 20s, isn't damaged to some extent? If you really think about it.
Yeah, you gotta give up something.
Hey, you know, some Mephisto or some shit. You gotta give up a piece of that to make moving forward. So when we talk about this next piece, it's, I guess, like Julius Randle, a happy sort of satisfactory ending to one of the most controversial and disappointing figures of our time.
Or the polarizing. Maybe polarizing, it's not an ending. Fine. Maybe we're on a satisfactory ebb.
Well, you know, as of now, if the, you know, just kind of like a lot of movies where, you know, the person's still alive, it's like, well, this is where we're at right now. Right. Seems okay for the moment. But DJ sent me over this really surprisingly introspective Forbes piece on Kanye West. Yes, that man, Kanye West. And, you know, we're always on the tips of what's happening in news and feeds and reads and tech dystopias. But take a step back and go to one of our figures here. And Zach O'Malley Greenberg's Kanye's Second Coming Inside the $1 Billion Yeezy Empire.
Behind the curtain.
Behind the veiled pearl-colored curtains that I'm sure are very aesthetically regular.
Or blank or plain. I don't know. Something you, like you seen that. This out of his house?
I want to say it was
like very empty.
You've seen these terrible Vogue videos when they go in somebody's house
You know, every brand has to have a video of some sort of video cachet thing that they make and they repeat it. Hmm. But I want to say Vogue has one where the person's house it is, it's like Crib, but they just walk you through the house, but they talk to you at the same time and it's very bad. They're like, hey, so this is my living room. This living room is great because it has this. And you walk through and the person asks them terrible questions. It's like, do you like eat here? And they're like, yes, we do eat here. So surprisingly, they did one with Kim. And she's like, yeah, so this is the foyer. And they're walking through all this like weird stone shit that they have in there. And just like, looks like some kind of, it looks like some shit from Angels and Demons and shit. Like some kind of comic.
That's apparently the word. Yeah.
And he gets, she's just walking around. And then Kanye's just there on the bed, just like sitting there, like dour and shit. The kids are running around. That's Kanye. He's over there. And then she just walks past him or whatever. But this piece goes beyond something as shallow as that and gets us not necessarily inside the mind, because we've all gotten these effuse sort of narratives about Kanye and his eccentricity and his eye for detail and how that affects everyone around him. But with a nod to, I guess, which was not necessarily a given, the success of Yeezy.
Yeah, particularly the sneakers.
Yes.
Yeah, particularly the... For somebody that follows him, I, probably like us too, most of it came up as like a summary of how he's gotten to this point. They even had like a timeline on the webpage. Did you see the timeline they had, like with the little picture timeline?
No.
I guess it's for white people or whomever, like, just doesn't know Kanye West at all, so they just have like little blocks of time, like 2001.
It's like produces the good
time. For, yeah, like 2001 produces for The Blueprint.
The Fall.
2010 comes out with My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy. 2013.
Like, this shit's ingrained in my mind, damn it. I know where I was.
You're right, basically. I mean, for me, but I understand. So it all really jumped off, I guess, as he joins Adidas, because he wasn't getting the same type of royalties and then creative freedom from Nike, and has really done well on the whole with the Yeezy, the sneakers, particularly, I guess, the clothes are not as hot, but they're looking at revenues of, what was $1.5 billion?
A lot.
Yeah, like half of Jordan brand. Which is pretty much just Jordan retros.
Right. Because nobody's buying the Why Nots. I was like, I don't know about these Jordans.
Oh, you was fucking with the Why Nots?
I looked that up, but I was like,
ugh. You was fucking with the Blake Griffins? Or the Chris Pauls?
Incoming Jason Tatum or some shit? I don't know.
Oh, I don't even know Jason Tatum. Yeah, I think he's just a Nike athlete. I don't know.
You know, he got signed to Jordan.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then go green. It's pretty clear that him designing clothes and sneakers has allowed him to, I guess, settle into something and reach an actual ebb, combined with, I guess, him becoming even more pious and religious compared to his past, to where...
I forgot about that. They did note that.
Yeah. So we don't... In addition with probably a lot of PR management, we don't see as much of the mania as we quite did a few years ago. And Forbes themselves did a pretty good bit of editorializing, not really including some of his relatively recent comments and antics in the piece, for better or for worse. But what I did find interesting was, you didn't watch that video, right?
No, I didn't realize there was a video.
Okay.
I maybe read on mobile.
Yeah, so it was like an 8-minute video that they get a lot of quotes from that same thing. So I imagine that the writer really was there for like, he spent maybe like, you know, 2 hours with him and wrote this 13-minute piece. But he either seems like ultra, definitely not, I wouldn't even use the term lucid, like ultra, like on a level and serene, or just on mad antidepressants and antipsychotics. I'm not sure.
That thing. He's like, yeah, like I am, you know, that's good. Yeah. You know.
I mean, he started just saying a lot of normal Kanye-isms that, you know, wind up just really being bullshit when you think about it. And I think we're all past the cynicism at this point, at least like of the mature public that's kind of grown up with
people
them.
Initially would be like, oh, Kanye's saying the thing, oh, yeah, it's great. Like, oh, you're just giving a rant again, be great. Oh, do what you, I'm Walt Disney.
Yeah, it's so deep. When it really is like not, or it's like some blah. He asked him something about the numbers of like the amount of sneakers that were making.
And he was like, why you gotta like ruin that, bro? Just accept all the love.
Yeah, like this is about love, about your grandmother making you a cake or something, surprising you with a birthday cake or some shit like that. But that's not all to say that I'm trashing it or trying to be overly negative about it. Although obviously probably you and most of us have not really felt good about him and his antics over the years. And I personally have not bought any Yeezy sneakers or gear, but I know plenty of people that have, and they're really bolstering their brand in his pockets. I don't know how long it can last. I mean, the designs are pretty dope and cool. He does a lot of colorways, but as we know, this stuff is really trendy and can really turn on a dime. But clearly not on a dime of based on his commentary or what he's doing or even like his musical output, because all that has been on a relative wane, but the sneakers have been selling well. They've increased production to a pretty considerable amount. So there's at least the 350s, like you've seen the low top ones. I know you're not really as into shoes.
Those are standard joints, the ones that kind of like
the looking. Yeezy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are pretty ubiquitous, at least in New York City.
And
so
they're like the comfortable, like, oh yeah, yeah, I put my Yeezys on and just I go out to the store with my sweatpants, I'm a dad, or like everybody wears them.
Yeah, it's all across the board. So do you have any value judgment based on
The article or on the shoes and like
either one, both, one or two?
My only real takeaway is that I was glad for him as a person, like him and like, what does it mean for like this to actually become a success for this? Because if you go back into the archives of how Sway and all that shit about,
or even that he was
the Louis
tens
v.
of millions of dollars in debt for his first the forays
tour
into
he,
it.
The tour that he jumped off on and should probably owe them money. Yeah. So crying to Hope, asking him for money, all this kind of stuff. Like, so all that was a mess. So for him to, I mean, Sunday service and, you know, I guess getting back into his faith or just getting more centered and doing whatever it did for him to be like, all right, you know, I'm going to just make this money. And for it to come back now where he's making enough damn money on shoes where it's, what did he say, like 150 mil like or something in income?
Over the past year, pre-tax. Yeah.
Right, because of his, when you talk about the deal. Now, I feel like I read a piece on Jordan Brand recently or talked about it, but just like the whole idea that Mike's getting 5% royalties.
Yeah.
He owns the brand still, distributed by Adidas, and he's getting 15% royalties.
15%.
Which is like, he's making that kind of Netflix type money where it's just like, it's just coming in and just coming in and coming in. So that is a success for him, but also I guess for all of us that just wanted him to be able to do this, that he was all this flailing and histrionics about this shit for 10 years.
I mean, I never doubted that he would be able to do it. He's always been creative and innovative.
But exactly, the bullshit was just like, dog, just do it. Why are you?
Nike style, guess not. Just do it.
Yeah. Well, what is Adidas? Greatness or some shit?
Damn, what is it? The three stripes?
Dude, that's not that's the, all the shit. That's not the slogan. The
three they got other shit. I don't know. I don't wear Adidas
Boost.
Like that.
Boost technology.
He just got Boost. Yeah, but was I cutting you off? I don't think I was cutting you off.
No, I just, you know, that was... Oh, I see the graphic now. But, like, that was the thing that I guess I felt good about. All the stuff about sort of the intermediary of what it means to for him to be selling shoes and I'm glad the finances have brought him to some sort of absolution for all of the bitching over the years.
It's giving him something to do, and combined with just not being a public person or tweeting.
Yeah,
and
he's just staying away from it.
Yeah, so I'm very pleased with that, and I'm happy that he's doing well. I don't really not on the best terms with him as an entity or his creative projects.
<As an entity. laughs>
But yeah, it's just like, you know, somebody's been in your life and they just fade out.
An entity. I just feel like he's somewhere just like undulating, like Kanye West, I'm the greatest. We're just like making stupid shit.
I'm a little bit more, you know, in tune than the average Joe with how everything fits in with just, you know, how everything fits in with one another. So I don't think I would ever like get back on that same ebb as I had been with him. And I have a ton of clothes and are relatively fashionable enough to not wear socks, as you mentioned. So I'm not his core demo, but
you're not his core demo.
No.
What is his core demo?
Niggas that don't pay attention. You wear fly shit, which is cool. Or you're relatively trendy. You're living in an urban area.
You're a hype beast.
You don't even got to be totally hype beast because it's crossed over into mainstream now.
But like, it's also a lot of people wear them. But
I seen an old Hispanic lady.
How do I explain it? Now you're not a hype beast, but you're hype. You just like, oh, like
if you're
an old Hispanic lady, you're like, I saw those Yeezys, I gotta put them on.
Yeah,
like,
you know, he's like, why? Daughter got him, you know, she saw her daughter with him or something. Yeah, so you're a little hype, and you get them. You're either not in tune or you don't really care about his antics and comments as of lately, and you buy it based on the aesthetics, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, I'm sure I buy and wear shit that are from companies or individuals that do things that I don't agree with or would not have agreed with. So none of us are perfect, but I was just able to. As I mentioned before, usually I say, like, it's easy to go without some shit. So I was like, yeah, I'm cool. Like, I'm probably just not going to buy any Yeezy sneakers. That's just not my endorsement. Because I would just think far too much about that if I were to be wearing
it. It's in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just not in the back of mind of all the people walking up and down Flatbush with it. And that's cool.
It really is.
Most of the sneakers are dope. So it is what it is. But you brought up Netflix.
I did.
Hold on, did you know what HBO Max is? I saw a press release, but I was confused. I was befuddled.
What do you mean in terms of?
Is it another streaming service from HBO?
See, that's a good question because I really thought about that, and I was like, it's supposed to be a tier. It appears.
Oh, a tier.
Because they want to give everybody who is already an HBO user access.
Like me.
Yes, like
through,
you.
Through my mom's. Thank you.
This new service will be maximized.
Ooh.
And it will offer, you know, original content, of course, Friends, as people have talked about, number of original DC properties, shows, the CW, all these things.
DC?
Yeah, you know, that's part of Turner.
Oh, shit.
Warner Brothers, Turner.
Hey, it's not that lit, though.
So, I mean, this Batman, is, people like Batman.
They're pulling in reinforcements for the, we need like a beat drop, like some heroic beat, boom, boom, done. Streaming wars.
Yes, the streaming wars indeed, man. Just to sort of give you guys some color on what's happening. The latest in the streaming wars. This is an ongoing discussion, ongoing battle. But this week, we got the newest entrant. It's been looming.
Is that Big Show's music?
Well,
by God.
By God, it's the Big Show. He's coming down.
It's HBO.
HBO.
He has a chair in his hand.
He's got the ring bell. He's got a sledgehammer. totally absurdly violent. A sledgehammer.
But HBO will only use, I'm the HBO, Triple H will only use like the flat top of that shit. Because clearly if you were to swing and you
murder everyone.
That shit had everybody tense. I used to be like, oh shit, what
is the sledgehammer?
About to hit Kurt Angle with the sledgehammer?
How did that even get approved? It's like, yo, I want to use a new prop. What? A sledgehammer. Like, that's my suspension of disbelief is gone.
Table, you know, chair, a foldable chair, like, cool. Like, you could get up from that shit. A sledgehammer, you ain't getting up. That shit's going to do internal damage. And that's what these streaming services are trying to do.
They're trying to sledgehammer each other into oblivion.
And that's how you thread it together. Yeah.
But it looks like HBO and Warner Media, the conglomerate, which is really AT&T, Warner, HBO, and all the properties involved in that, including DC, CW, great, Turner, a number of other ones that are among this, have thrown in their entry coming 2020 spring, which will be HBO Max.
Where'd you see this?
Well, there was not only, there's a press release, of course.
Yeah.
But there is a article in the Times that's breaking down everything. I just had it, and I was just reading it. And
I closed it!
Ah! Gargle, 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 gargle. Yeah, so
pull it up. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I have it. The Great Race to Rule Streaming TV and their rush to match Netflix competitors like HBO, Hulu, Amazon, and Disney are in the fray. DJ, with this newest entrant, as an HBO, I would say, acolyte.
Yeah,
as an HBO acolyte, how do you feel about this foray? Because for me, I don't know if I can handle all of these services, and I'm wondering what's going to be the fallout in the future. Apple's talking about it, and this is one of the things Apple keeps talking about that they just need to give up on, and I don't. And there's a number of things like that are in the way about how each service is going to try to survive and whatnot, but this one is a player I think could make it. And so then my question to you was, as HBO, you know, Stan, how do you feel about this announcement for Max Originals?
I mean, I'm still confused. Yes. I go to HBO for mostly HBO native properties and the occasional good movie that they put up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm going to be a target for that. But the shit is difficult, man, because the knives are out. And everybody is stabbing Netflix like Caesar on the Ides of March,
just in the back. Ah,
and you know, like, and the properties are falling out. You got Friends gone, 2020 RIP. You got.
I mean, it's funny because that's a big deal for people.
It's
the biggest one in the Friends in the Office. The biggest
Friends in the Office. Yeah.
Biggest things, but. It's funny, I was reading a Vulture article just to sort of piggyback on this article from the Times. Who the fuck cares? I know people say that it matters.
Yeah.
But I don't think, and this is my hot take about where things are going in the streaming world, I don't think there is the killer app.
No, but that's also kind of a problem. But
I think it's all brand equity.
It is and may be, but the constant fracturing and horse trading of major properties and episodes will just lead everybody, you know, thrown around. You got to subscribe to one thing, go to another. As we already said, it seems as if that all these things have become, they're just going to package them together and then give it to you in a box and call it cable. But when it comes to those, you know, just all American most watched sitcoms like your Friends and The Office, which are literally one and two on the most watched programs on Netflix. People just put them on in the background, just as like background watching. It feels
like dishes. Yeah,
it fills that void of what used to be you just channel flipping and maybe you just land on ESPN or you land on whatever local news or CNN or whatever, just to have. You know, like a moving image in the background that you feel comfortable and at home with. So that is, you know, very, very valuable. I believe Netflix paid like $100 million to have The Office for the last year that they're going to have it. So for them to lose both The Office and Friends, their, you know, two biggest, most streamed shows. It definitely impacts their credibility, their viability, their feasibility. They don't have the best track record when it comes to their original programming. So they need things from other, you know, broadcast channels or stuff that they get from where they, what is that, Homeland? What they get, like Weeds? What channel was Weeds on?
Showtime?
They get a couple Showtime shows, you know, stuff like that to really build out their portfolio so it can actually be worth the $13 that you're spending a month. And they're in their specific boat and have a head start on everyone, but everyone is in the same kind of rat race for our eyeballs and attention.
I mean, it's weird when I think about what it's going to look like, I guess, in 6 to 10 months, the recabilization of everything and what that means. But I and I try to navigate all the ones that I would have to interact with. Obviously, there's Netflix, but then the Hulu thing is like, what does that mean with Disney Plus? And Hulu owns that. And there's an ESPN Plus, which is also part of that. Part is that a thing? Is that coming together? What is that? Are they going to just trying to like screw us over and have it all bundled out like that? And then they're really going to cable us on the sly, not even say anything. Mm-hmm. And then you have, or we talked about HBO Max, and you're going to have Amazon still floating out there, just flooding money in, even though they're like, we don't care how cool the quality, we're just going to out money you. Just fuck it. And then you have shit on the fringes, like whatever Comcast is supposedly doing.
Oh, like the NBC joint, right?
Yeah,
that's going to have the office on it.
Yeah, but I still don't. Comcast NBC. It's just still not really totally realized. And that's a thing where I talked about earlier with Friends and Office coming away and brand equity. It's just like, nobody's going to fuck with it. They're just not going to fuck with it over there. And NBC's going to give up and just be like, all right, just give us 50 mil and put it. Like, they're going to just end up licensing this shit out. It's not going to work.
We'll give them back.
Now, HBO, they could have the strength to do that. I think that Warner Media has enough content. They have a lot of, they have CNN. They have all those Turner channels, TBS. They have a lot of library. They can use HBO Now has the ability to watch live TV, right? Like sort of what's on HBO Now. Like,
I have Go, so I don't know.
But that's a possibility. So they can use those channels as intermediate brands and Max to give you the streaming TV feel, which Netflix hasn't been able to do yet because people are like, what am I going to watch? That's still the central problem with Netflix. So that's viable. That's a thing. But the Comcast, and Comcast isn't gonna work. But there's also, CBS All Access is out there.
Oh shit.
That's been out.
That's that shit got Star Trek on
it. It got Star Trek.
And Twilight Zone.
It got Jordan Peele.
Man. And nobody knows what Tuck's out there.
Nobody's watching that shit. He was like, how much money? Who's gonna watch? Five people? That's fine. Just give me the money.
He got the ill ratio. He's getting like like $5 million per five people.
That shit is absurd because he's getting no views, and I'm sure the nice hefty bag. Yeah. So that's out there, but that's Showtime. Showtime is CBS.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
I thought that was HBO. You know, I don't know shit about
exactly, but there's all this partitioning is putting us in a position where I think we're all going to lock in to the primary ones that have enough brand equity and power for us to be like, all right, well, I'll fuck with it. And then the other ones are going to just decide, like, listen, you're going to have to be Sega. This happened in, what was it, 99? Video game industry?
When Sega died?
You had PlayStation 2 Lumen, you had the new GameCube Lumen, you had Xbox Lumen, and Sega Dreamcast came in like, yo, we got one more Dreamcast, ahead of the time, fire controller.
So you had the memory stick you put in the top, it had the little LED on there.
What? Put your chowl in there.
You go to chow!
Come on, dog, you know it.
I had the Wild Evil chow Sonic Adventure 1 and 2.
Put the wings on the back and shit out of it. It was Wild Evil. Did you abuse them and shit? That's how they make them, you gotta throw them to go off the cliff.
Everybody used to do the most demented shit in all those games. That's why they took all that type of stuff out. And we just played first person.
I mutated my shit. I was like, I'm getting this nigga like tiger back and shit, and whatever. Yeah, it's fine.
They were abused.
But sure. With that, Sega, they overshot themselves in the console market, and they realized we're going to just be a third party developer for the other brands. Mm-hmm. And there's no way you can tell me that Comcast has enough brand equity to survive. They had the Universal
first
brand.
Can I pause you 1 second?
Yes.
Comcast is, the brand itself is so hated. That's why they came out with Xfinity. Like the brand identity, like they do a lot of customer surveys. And you're like, okay, Comcast, internet. And it got such negative views that they rebranded it as a sub-brand and called it Xfinity, but it's the same shit. So that, these are the brands that you're talking about.
So like you said, I don't think The Office is enough. And as much as people come to Netflix for all those shows, Netflix, like the article explained, they've been planning this shit since the jump. They're like, eventually these motherfuckers are gonna catch up. Eventually they don't want to pull things away. So they overloaded, they gave us all this bullshit. They can pull up a show from 3 years ago that none of us watched, put it on the top thing, and be like, shit, yo, this is a cult classic, and somebody start watching it. Yeah. And they've also been putting a lot more money, which I've noticed, into everyone's famed crappy sitcom. There's a lot of them that are floating on there, like, oh, let's just little. Tia got one I just saw. I was like, do I want this? I don't, but it's here. It's there. Like they tried to give Run one and it was garbage and they just cut that shit off.
You know why that was like a complete remake of a show that he made? We never understood that. My girlfriend and I watched the preview. It was like, nigga, you made Run's House again? And not with your children, just with another group of three.
He's like, "What's up? These are my kids."
He does it's a sitcom. He does the same shit where he's in the bathtub texting out, you know, axioms and shit. Like, how you make the exact same show?
Come on, son.
Yo, that's a Netflix bag though. You know, he caught a few mil off that.
Yeah, I'm sure he was happy with that. But at the end of the day, they have enough, and I think, depending on how they interact with the service and what they provide, they're way ahead of the game. And in terms of subscriptions, a lot of this is about subscription too. You got to get subscribers, and they're getting $500 million checks every month. Easy. So that's the main issue with these other companies. They're living on advertising. They have brand. They have the legacy of what they have, but the advertising game only gets you so far. And now when you're trying to ask people to subscribe to NBC, nigga?
That shit is free over the top. Like NBC, the NBC.
So I can get the Hobbs Shaw miniseries. I don't know.
But the new entrant that I do see, at least just from intuition and you know, recognizing the brands, that would definitely be a player is Disney for sure. You know, they just have so much shit, and they're Disney. Like, we don't you know, connote Disney with anything particularly bad or negative. Like, they just have everything that's not on Netflix, damn near, besides, I guess, your beloved DC movies. But, you know, Marvel and Star Wars and the entire Disney catalog, all these fucking remakes that they're making, like, they're all going to be on Disney Plus.
ABC, all that kind of stuff, everything from ABC channels. Yeah. And you also have that Disney market, of course, ESPN, once again.
Yeah.
So they have both brand equity and the, you know, infrastructure.
Yeah, but are they trying to, like, two time the subscribers though? With, like,
supposedly services? they're not gonna combine them, and they're gonna be like, oh, you get like a deal if you get all of them. But I think that is also a thing that they're trying to stave away, how much ESPN costs, because that was the big issue with cable. Was that if we pull the shit together and ESPN becomes so pricey that motherfuckers don't want it. Yeah. Because it's, you know, the majority of the cost. So
yeah, subscription fee was too high.
Yeah.
Yeah. This shit is just becoming far too many services and far too many clicks and interfaces. You got to memorize how all this shit looks. They change the interface every other couple of months. You look
and find HBO simple enough that I hope that they retain that in some sense. Yeah. Netflix is trying to make their shit like vertical now for some reason. I don't know
what the hell they be doing.
They're just trying to keep shit fresh.
Just keep it jazzed up. They run off the algorithm anyway.
So. Yeah, and then I don't know. I don't know what to expect from Disney, and I don't know what to expect from whatever the fuck Comcast is doing. See, have you ever opened up CBS All Access?
I think I tried, and I saw that you had to pay for it, and I closed it.
That shit is running on fucking Windows 98.
Shit, they talk about that's retro. That's what they do.
That shit looks. I was like, God damn, this is a trash here, boy. I know.
Yo, what's up with Crackle?
Crackle stop there. They had Jerry Seinfeld. I know that. Gave him the bag.
Netflix. Use the Mario fishing pole.
Give us that shit. It's funny. Yeah. Sony in general, they have to take a step back from the market and what they're doing, because it's not happening. They gotta take a step back too.
That's fair. Very, 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 very fair. I guess we'll see. I will probably remain a relatively stable subscriber. That's also based on the fact that I'm mooching off of my parents. So my options are limited unless they pick that rest of that shit up. Shout out to them. Their cable bill is like $200 a month. I don't understand.
And they're fine with it.
But, you know, I'm not giving any reports. I'm not saying anything. We're just holding pat, enjoying this HBO. Why we can.
Indeed. So, I mean, I'm excited. We'll see what this holds. This future of television in this weird place. But hey, we're in dystopia, so I don't know how long we're going to be here anyway, so whatever. 2025?
Yeah.
I'll catch y'all.
And there's also something to be said about, without trying to drone on too long about this topic, but are we really seeing a growth in demand of having so much programming? Like, there's a lot of fucking shows out.
Well, I mean, Netflix, you know, their whole shit was tragic, was they were trying to outpace.
Right.
And because they don't have back library, they don't have back catalog.
I understand for them.
So them, that was that for the other ones. Like, the Max thing, they announced, oh, we got Issa Rae doing a show. We got this person doing a show. We got all these people doing shows. And like, I'm not watching this shit. Like, is it people? Are they watching this shit, or is it just served to, you know, float around and then you just? It's. I think maybe it's a supermarket theory. She's like, we got shit,
and they'll do like you said that kind of carousel type
we
type just, of thing.
We got a whole bunch of shit. Like, nobody wants to go. No one wants to go into a fucking Soviet era grocery store.
They gonna flip with that new show. Like, got this new show, but that shit was on been on there for like 8 years.
I mean, especially shit like game shows and shit like. Yeah. They were saying HBO is interested in doing game show. They're trying to like do the whole, I don't know what keeps it, a game show keep it on brand, but we'll see.
A prestige game show.
Yeah.
Hosted by
Ben Stein.
Not Ben Stein. I don't know. Ben Stein been on some wild shit
lately. It's MAGA shit, right?
Yeah. MAGA Ben Stein. What the fuck?
Why does that sound like evolution and shit? Like, you know, Majin Vegeta, like you get MAGA and shit.
You get the M on your forehead. And niggas, imagine it's evil, right? You'd be like, damn.
You get mad brolic and shit. They're like, fuck black people.
Yeah, but this shit is fleeting.
It's
like,
it's a few, nigga, you just lose, you just wear out.
Man, like, damn, Vegeta, like, he'll be back though. You just gotta work on him. You gotta beat it out of him. A lot of references here.
You know, read up. Have your asterisks. Have your fucking, what's the shit called at the end of a? Look at your index. You know what we're talking about? Yeah, man. Well, I guess it's been a good episode.
I think so. Maybe.
Possibly. I realize that I'm trying to find new avenues of entertainment. So maybe this whole streaming thing won't even matter anymore, man. Just float off and.
Would you go to like operas and shit?
Maybe, man. You know, I'm
not mad. I'm just saying.
I know. I mean, it's part of it is cynicism where I'm becoming, you know, bored with things. It's like, oh, you know, come back, nigga. I'm at birds and shit. Like, you got birds?
Nigga, I came in here last week and you lied to me. Talking about you had a dog. I'm like, oh shit, there's a dog in here. Hey, dog. You're like, yeah, it's the dog, Nala. I'm going through things. I want to spice things up, do something different. I come back, the dog is gone, y'all. It wasn't even his dog. Got trolled.
But all that was true. So I might get a dog. I might get a dog. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
That was a test dog?
Yeah, test dog.
Where you get a test dog from?
You can actually foster a dog, you know, just for a little while.
It's for real?
Yeah, it's a thing.
That's kind of janky.
Yeah, you know, then you got
to
get back.
You about to rent a dog? Rent a dog?
I mean, shit, you rent anything out there. 2019.
Fair enough.
Anything is possible, as yeah. One bald seven-footer would say.
And for sure. I wonder how his joints are doing.
His dogs?
KG. His joints. Not his dogs, his joints.
Oh, his physical joints.
Yeah. That was a callback. See, I'm trying
no,
to...
No, you brought it all home. I'm sure he's very weary.
Yeah, niggas be languishing on NBA TV.
Just looking like Groot and shit, moving trees. Just niggas just...
Area 21.
RIP.
Oh, it's done?
Nigga, do you want more of that? Nobody wanted more of that. No. Turner Properties, this will be HBO Max.
Oh, shit. Oh, love, do you have any stock in Kendrick Perkins as a personality?
Everyone seems to. I'm not against it.
Nor am I. Okay.
But I don't know if I'm for it.
I'm skeptical.
I'm not even skeptical. I just... You know, I've had a lot of free time on my hands lately, so I've gotten really into the opera of this sort of talk sport shit. It's driven me mildly insane. I had to pull away. But I'm just like, this shit is such
a
performance art. And it's just like, he's hot because he's like a new character. He's like, oh, he's country. That's yeah. Fun. And he's folksy.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like belligerent and like faux straight talk.
Yeah.
But clearly has like biases and an agenda for sure.
Clearly. Yeah. It's just a funny thing. It's just like, and I said this, I don't know if I said it on a pod, but Stephen A. Smith, greatest actor of our time. I have.
Daniel Day-Lewis steps to the side.
Go away. Because when you talk about, it's funny, when you talk about the Tonys, they were recently, they had the Tonys and shit. And this daytime TV shit has got to be, it's a play, but it's not television. I don't know if it's television. I don't know if it's television, but to get up there every day and perform this character and to do shit like, I don't know, when they brought him in and one of the days the Knicks just were just floundering as per usual.
Like,
and he storms around the stage huffing, oh, I kid, the Knicks! And just walks around the stage, comes back and forth, gets to his mark, turns to the camera. I'm like, this motherfucker is an artiste. Beautiful.
Yeah, man.
So I say all that to say I hope to watch more of Stephen A. on Disney ESPN Plus.
You said Disney? Oh, Disney ESPN Plus.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, until, I don't know, that shit gets pulled somewhere else and you got to spend, you know, $3 for first take.
It's a mess.
Oh, shit.
Well,
that might be the cue.
That might be the cue. It's another great send a link. You know where to find us: SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all that good stuff. And keep listening and keep anticipating the great links we have from great articles. DJ, you got anything to say before we get stormed on over here?
Nah, I think that's it. That's time. Awesome. Damn, I did. Oh, but I fucking forgot. Better come back to me.
I'm sure. I'm trying to give you, you get 30 seconds. It was game show. 30 seconds to remember. Coming on HBO Max.
Is that shit gonna have like old ladies and shit?
Like, it's like, where were you during the moon landing? I was with my dad. I don't know. I don't know. Bobby, don't jump her in slime and shit. Grandma's in the slime.
Nah, I want to see some shit with the Dr. Evil like trapdoor shit where they just fall.
Falling the punji sticks and like, oh shit.
some Mortal Kombat type shit.
Very violent.
So no, it didn't come to me and I think we burned 30 seconds. So
it's fine.
We'll let the people go.
Well, check back at us next week and enjoy the links.
For sure.